You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, quiet on the set.
Camera speed.
Sound production, take one.
Action!
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era. Hear fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine, who quite literally lives just beneath the Hollywood Sign, and actress-writer Nan McNamara. Now your hosts, Steve and Nan.
So I've been thinking about the episode this week, what we're going to be talking about, and it reminds me a little bit of the analogy of the Academy Awards are our Super Bowl. I was trying to think of what would be the equivalent of this, and I think it would be maybe 4 days on a beach or 4 days in Paris. But for us, it's 4 days of watching movies, going to lectures, and hearing all about old Hollywood.
Exactly. And what we're talking about today is the Turner Classic Movies Film Festival, which Nan and I will be covering as part of the media,
which we're so excited about. We're very excited. Now, the dates are, just so we get this off the top, April 18th through the 21st, and it is the 15th annual TCM Film Festival.
Yes. I cannot talk about the film festival without talking about Bob Osborne, which I don't know if people know, but I was friends with Bob. I met Bob probably the early 1990s through my friend Al Morley and my great friend Billy Barnes. And Bob and I just hit it off immediately.
I can't imagine what you would have had in common.
Oh, we were, you know, two peas in a pod. And I so admired his love and knowledge of old movies and how he so cared about the legacy of old Hollywood and these films. And I think that's what really connected us and bonded us. And every time Bob would be in Los Angeles, and it was so much fun, and I miss it to this day, he would just call up and say, "Hey kiddo, I'm coming by. Let's go for a ride." And I would jump in the car, and usually Al would be there or Billy or somebody, and we would take these great Bob Osborne tours of Los Angeles.
Oh my gosh.
And he would show you where all the things happened. He would show you where Pick Fair used to be and where Susan Hayward had a fight with Lex Barker and the house where, you know, so-and-so was murdered. I mean, it was the most incredible tours. And I'm just so grateful. I look back on it now as a little older, and I'm so appreciative of that care he took in wanting to impart that knowledge to me.
Yes.
And it's one of the reasons that I probably did my blog is because now I feel the responsibility.
I want to share the knowledge. I want to pass
the torch to the next generation of, you know, keep these movies and these people alive.
And as much as we love the TCM hosts that are currently...
And we do.
We do. We really miss Robert Osborne. His insights, his encyclopedic knowledge of film and stars and...
He was born for that role.
Yeah.
He really was.
He really was.
Yeah.
Well, then let's do this as a little homage to him.
I was going to say, a little tribute to Bob, and I'm so grateful that I had that tutelage from the great Bob Osborne.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited to cover the festival, us as an entity for From Beneath the Hollywood Sign, and we're going to give you guys a preview of what's coming up at the festival.
Right. Let's start with a little overview, because there are some films that are newer, and there are, of course, some films that are classics, and some that are older that we haven't seen. So.
Yes.
Just as an overview, one of the things that stood out for me in going over the schedule is A Heart Be Still, Jodie Foster is getting her hands and feet in the Chinese theater, and there'll be a presentation of that, as well as a screening of Silence of the Lambs, and she will be a guest post the screening.
I know, that's pretty exciting. It'll be fun to cover that.
Yeah.
You know, we all love Jodie Foster. And well, but I have to say, when I saw that Silence of the Lambs was being shown at the Classic Cinema, I felt really old.
I know.
I remember exactly where I was when I saw that movie.
It wasn't that long ago. In fact, my mom is a real horror film fan. She loves to be scared. I don't know if she still does, but she did back then. And she was out here visiting, and the two of us went to see Silence of the Lambs in the theater and just about had heart attacks.
Scared the bejesus out of me.
It's the only film that has won Best Picture that's a horror film.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
of course, Jodie Foster, I think we all know, has been nominated multiple times, has won 2 Oscars and started her career, I believe, at the age of 2 doing commercials and really has been in the business the whole time.
She was the Coppertone baby where the dog is pulling her diaper off.
Yeah. There's a great interview that Scott Feinberg does of her recently after NIAID, and she's had a really fascinating career.
Yeah, amazing, talented. Well, you know what I'm excited about is the theme of this.
Yes.
The theme of this year's festival is Most Wanted, Crime and Justice in Film.
Ooh.
Because if you guys know me, I like crime.
He likes the dark.
I like the dark. I like the murders. I like the investigation.
Yes.
So they're doing a little tribute to that. And there's some great films they're showing to sort of go along with the theme. But to kick off the festival, the opening night movie is, again, a movie that I'm not sure is a classic yet, but they're showing Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
And John Travolta will be there, Samuel L. Jackson, Uma Thurman. So that's going to be really fun.
Can I tell you my little story about Pulp Fiction? I feel really old because I was there when we went to see a screening of it. In the scene where Eric Stoltz and John Travolta are trying to bring back Uma Thurman from her overdose. And they have the syringe of adrenaline that they're going to put into her heart.
Don't try this at home, folks.
Yes, don't try. I almost vomited in the theater.
Ooh.
I had to take off my sweatshirt that I had on. I started to sweat. It was awful.
Oh my gosh. See, again, I am the dark, you are the light.
Yes, well.
The horrible darkness of that made you vomit.
Yes, right.
And I would have been like, show me. I want to see the syringe going in the heart.
Whole thing. The other thing that I noticed in their schedule is that they have a pop quiz like we have.
Well,
isn't that something?
How about that?
And you can join a team, and you can, it's called So You Think You Know the Movie. So I have a feeling you're going to, if you were at this, you would win the big prize.
We all love a good trivia night.
Yeah, we do.
Well, you know, another thing they're doing, and I'm excited about this because he's so of my era, and I so appreciated his work, is they're having a tribute to Billy Dee Williams.
Yes.
And they're also screening Lady Sings the Blues, of course, which was his 1972 hit with Diana Ross.
Yes.
Such a great movie. And it left such an impression on me as a kid, that movie. I thought, is that what it's like to be an artist? You have to suffer like that to really make it? I think he's such an underappreciated actor. And I'm so excited to see the conversation they have with him.
Yes.
Because, of course, he's gone on to be such an icon, and he's gone on to make so many great movies. It'll be really fun to see what he has to say.
And he's going to be signing copies of his book. So if you're attending, you'll be able to buy that as well. I think we should cover a couple of things.
Yeah.
I think we should cover movies that are being played at the festival that you and I have never seen and cannot wait to see.
Yes. I have a list. There's so many great ones.
And then a list of the movies that we have seen but that we could watch over and over again just to give people a flavor of what the festival is about.
Yeah. Before we do that, can we just kind of give a shout out to the people attending?
Yes.
The special guest they have lined up is amazing.
Okay.
They have, we already mentioned John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson and Uma Thurman there for
Jodie Foster.
But also they've got Jeff Daniels and Dana Delaney and Morgan Freeman and Diane Lane, Tim Robbins, Keith Carradine, my buddy, and also journalist Scott Feinberg.
Yes,
I know you're a big fan.
I'm in love with Scott Feinberg.
And Leonard Maltin will be there. And the filmmakers they have lined up is spectacular. They've got David Fincher, Carl Franklin, John Landis, Nancy Meyers, Mike Newell, Alexander Payne, and Mr. Spielberg.
I'm speechless. I mean, just having him there.
Yes.
And what an advocate he has become, and really has been his whole career.
Yes.
for the restoration of film, but specifically for TCM, because last
Yes.
June they had a lot of layoffs, and he and a couple of other filmmakers, I think it might have been Martin Scorsese, decided we got to get behind this, and we got to help curate these films and keep this alive, because
Yeah.
it's the history of this industry.
I love that they saw the importance and they stepped up.
I do too. So let's talk about the films that we've never seen that we're excited to see at the festival that we'll be screening.
Oh, you go first. Well, you know, the one that pops into my head first and foremost
Yeah.
is The Big House.
Oh.
They're showing, I guess it's a restored print of it from 1930. I've never seen it.
Okay.
It's director George Hill, who, you know, directed Men and Bill and tons of stuff. It's written by Frances Marion, who I think we've talked about on the podcast before. She was probably the most prolific and highest paid writer in Hollywood for a while. And they were married.
Oh, wow.
George Hill and Frances Marion were husband and wife
Okay.
when they made The Big House. Frances Marion, people probably know, she won an Oscar for this movie, The Big House. But we know her from, she wrote The Champ and Dinner at Eight and Anna Christie and Camille. I mean,
Yes.
she just was one of the best screenwriters we've ever had in this industry.
Yeah.
But the movie, it stars Robert Montgomery and Chester Morris and Wallace Beery, who I love
Yes,
so much.
Yes, me too.
And it was probably the very first prison picture.
Yeah.
They really defined the genre of the prison picture in The Big House.
Wow.
And it's about these three men who are in prison on varying degrees of guilt and brutalness. And it's just about their life behind bars. And I can't wait to see it. I'm so excited. And yeah, that's probably the first and foremost for me.
Okay. I had so many.
Yes.
I really did. It was hard to kind of cull it down, but let me just throw one out. The Good Fairy.
Yeah, I've never seen it either.
Now, The Good Fairy, it's from 1935, and it's directed by William Wyler, and his son, David Wyler, is going to be at the screening
Yes.
and part of a Q&A
Very
afterward.
Cool.
And one of the things, because I thought, well, William Wyler, you would think we would have seen this film, but apparently, according to TCM's website, it is one of his least seen films.
And I think he got fired off this film. Preston Sturges wrote it, and he directed
Preston
it.
Preston Sturges wrote it.
They both kind of got fired from this film.
Well, one of the things they talk about is the continual arguments on set. Now, part of that is between Wyler and the star, Margaret Sullivan, who we've talked about in this podcast before on our, I believe it was our New Year's
Yes.
films episode, The Moon's Our Home from 1936 that she starred in with Henry Fonda, who she actually ended up marrying. And
speaking of marrying.
Yeah, and she ends up marrying William Wyler.
So apparently all that fighting was maybe love fights.
Yeah, it could be. Well, the story of The Good Fairy, it follows the life of an orphan played by Margaret Sullivan. And my understanding is that she sees this world as a fantasy. So her innocence, her looking at everything through rose-colored glasses
Yes.
gets her in trouble with men, which I guess that makes sense.
Naivete.
Right. And so as you can imagine, I'm imagining hijinks ensue. But it does say that the production was a nightmare. Sturges was apparently rewriting
Yes.
and handing out pages and new scenes all the time.
I read that.
And they, and Wyler and Sullivan, were quarreling all the time until they then ran off and got married.
Yes. Well,
which is kind
how about that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess they did, Universal Pictures did fire not only William Wyler, but Sturges
Yeah,
as well.
I think they both got the boot. I think I read that.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
Wow, that must have been a pretty disorderly set.
Well, and just seeing the film with that backdrop, knowing the behind the scenes, I think it'd be interesting to see what sparks fly.
The making of.
Yeah.
There's
Yeah.
your movie. Well, my next film, and I'm really excited to see it, it's The Night Has 1,000 Eyes.
Oh, yes.
From 1948. It's directed by John Farrow, as we all know, is Mia Farrow's father,
uh-huh.
Maureen O'Sullivan's husband. Very prolific director. director. I don't think he was ever an A-plus director, but he did some great things like Bill of Divorcement with Katharine Hepburn, The Big Clock. Did some great stuff. This particular movie intrigues me for a couple of reasons. One, it stars Edward G. Robinson, who is one of my absolute favorite actors. He can do no wrong in my book. But it also stars the beautiful and tragic Gail Russell.
Oh, yes. And we've talked about
it
before.
And I think we're going to do an episode about Gail Russell and her sort of tragic life. But I've been such a fan of hers ever since I saw her as a kid in The Angel and the Bad Man with John Wayne. And she plays this young, innocent Quaker girl who shows this gunslinger the ways of love and peace. But anyway, she's so exquisite, and she's, I mean, I can't even describe her beauty. It's like otherworldly. Mm-hmm. And she really was a wonderful actress as well. And it's just really sad. You know, she was this vulnerable, insecure person that probably was not made for a career in Hollywood, but she had a powerful stage mother who pushed her in front of the cameras, and she had Paramount Pictures who saw money in her, so they were pushing her, and it didn't end well for her. But
yeah,
I'm such a fan of hers. But anyway, I'm excited for that. But the story itself is right up my alley too, because it's about Edward G. Robinson plays this phony psychic. And you know me, I love a phony psychic. He's built himself.
Doesn't? Yeah, really.
He bills himself as the mental wizard. Well, something happens and he actually gets real psychic powers.
I was reading that, yes.
And he actually sees some horrible things in his own life that he can't prevent. So he sort of goes into seclusion. But then when his grown daughter, played by Gail Russell, when he gets a vision of her in peril, he comes out of hiding and he goes to help her. So it's a real film noir kind of feel.
And kind
to
of whimsical, it,
and, it
sounds.
Yes. And it just sounds incredible. And, you know, with the two of them in the lead, I'm all over.
Yeah.
And also stars John Lund, who I really appreciate, and Virginia Bruce, who I'm a big fan of.
Well, I'm going to add that to my list as well. Okay, let me throw one more at you. Oh my gosh, we love Thelma Ritter in this podcast, and who doesn't love Thelma Ritter? The Model and the Marriage Broker, which I can't kind of believe I haven't seen it.
I cannot believe you haven't seen that
movie. Because I know you have seen it.
I love that movie.
How much you love her.
I love it.
And I was surprised to learn that it's her only starring role, but she received third billing because, of course, she's not your typical, at least in the time frame that we're talking about, your typical leading woman. So Jean Crane and Scott Brady,
who we've talked about when we talked about Sibling.
Yeah, the Sibling
episodes ago.
Rivalry episode, who is a brother to Lawrence Tierney. They are first and second billing. But Thelma Ritter apparently steals this movie.
Yes, indeed.
Every scene she's in. She plays a marriage broker, and Crane, who co-stars, is a model who's stuck in a dead-end romance. And so Thelma Ritter helps her find her perfect man. What's interesting is writer-producer Charles Brackett apparently loved Thelma Ritter so much in The Mating Season from 1951 that he wrote this as a vehicle for her. And again, it's directed by another iconic person, George Cukor.
Yes.
And it's from 1951.
You know, if I were to ever get a marriage broker, I would want it to be Thelma Ritter.
I would too. I would too. And there's another film I want to talk about when we get to the ones that we would watch over and over again. And she's in that one as
perfect.
Well. So we've got a lot more films to talk about. But right now, let's jump into this week's Hollywood Pop Quiz.
And the pop quiz question today is, at the very first Turner Classic Movie Film Festival, who was the star who received their handprints in cement during the festival?
Oh.
Do, 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 do.
I love that question.
Ah.
All right, we'll be back with the answer and more films and details about Turner Classic Movie Film Festival after this.
Let Mysteries at Midnight be your destination for detective whodunits and captivating mystery stories. You'll hear classic stories like Sherlock Holmes, Agatha Christie's Poirot, and short tales from H.G. Wells, Charles Dickens, Edgar Allan Poe, and others. I'm Christopher, and I read these classic stories in the soothing style of a bedtime story, so you can listen to them in bed when you drift off to sleep. I also host the number one sleep podcast in the world called Sleep Cove, where millions drift off to meditations, hypnosis, and bedtime stories. We soon realized that listeners wanted to hear our mystery stories all in one place. So we created Mysteries at Midnight, where you can listen to all new tales every week. Search for Mysteries at Midnight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app, and follow and subscribe so you don't miss out on new episodes. So why don't you pick a story now? And can you guess the twist?
Throughout history, royals across the world were notorious for incest. They married their own relatives in order to consolidate power and keep their blood blue. But they were oblivious to the havoc all this inbreeding was having on the health of their offspring. From Egyptian pharaohs marrying their own sisters to the Habsburgs' notoriously oversized lower jaws, I explore the most shocking incestuous relationships and tragically inbred individuals in royal history. And that's just episode one. On the History Tea Time podcast, I profile remarkable queens and LGBTQ+ royals, explore royal family trees, and delve into women's medical history and other fascinating topics. I'm Lindsay Holiday, and I'm spilling the tea on history. Join me every Tuesday for new episodes of the History Tea Time podcast, wherever fine podcasts are enjoyed.
All right, Steve and Ann will be right back, but first, another stop on the Hollywood tour. Maybe one of the single sweetest films from the golden age of Hollywood is Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life. That came out, of course, in 1946. And one of the sweetest TV shows ever? Well, that would have to be Sesame Street, right? So what do these have to do with each other? Well, believe it or not, the beloved characters of Bert and Ernie on Sesame Street were actually named after Bert the cop and Ernie the taxi driver in It's a Wonderful Life. And now back to Steve and Nan from Beneath the Hollywood Sign.
Welcome back, everybody. Nan and I are finishing up our list of movies that we're dying to see at the Turner Classic Film Festival that we haven't seen.
Yes.
And the next one on my list, The Prisoner of Shark Island.
I saw that on the list, and it was on my list as well.
What a title. Yeah. 1936. It's directed by the great John Ford, of course, who gave us Stagecoach and The Grapes of Wrath and How Green Was My Valley and The Quiet Man and all those John Wayne westerns. But it stars Warner Baxter, who of course won the very second Best Actor Oscar in 1929 for In Old Arizona. It also stars Gloria Stewart, who most people know from Titanic,
yes.
But she actually had a whole big career before
right,
Titanic.
She did.
And the best part is it has all of John Ford's stock players in it. John Carradine, Harry Carey, Francis Ford, who was his brother,
yes.
John McGuire, Paul Fix, all the great
yep.
John Ford stock characters there in this movie. I'm really excited to see this movie because it's being introduced by John Carradine's son, Keith Carradine.
Yes.
Who's an old pal of mine.
Yes.
And I haven't seen Keith in a long, long time, and I'm really looking forward to reconnecting with him.
Yeah.
But Keith ended up starring in one of the first movies I ever produced, our very own, which also starred Allison Janney. And he's such an exquisite actor and such a lovely human being. I can't wait to see him. But the movie just sounds great. I mean, it really hooked me from the, you know, I read the log line of what it's about.
Yeah.
And it's about this doctor who, hours after Abraham Lincoln is assassinated, he unknowingly helps patch up John Wilkes Booth. He doesn't know
yes.
what's going on. Well, he ends up getting arrested and sentenced for being an accomplice and aiding an assassin. So he goes to prison, probably unfairly, and it's all about his time in prison and what he does with his medical knowledge that helps the prison system, and it just sounds like a really
yeah.
great movie, and I'm really excited to see it.
That sounds really interesting. And it's a great segue into the last one on my list, because I wonder how John Ford would have felt about this movie.
Ah.
It's sort of in his wheelhouse.
Sort of.
It's called, well, maybe not the female part
maybe
of
not
it.
The female part
yeah,
of it.
But
yeah.
It's called Westward the Women. It's from 1951, directed by William Wellman, who we all know from
yes.
A Star is Born.
Yes.
He actually wrote the original screenplay for that. He directed one of your favorite films,
The Oxbow Incident.
The Oxbow
yes.
Incident from 1942.
Say, yes.
And he's also directed a fair number of who we would consider really strong, wonderful leading ladies. So it's no surprise that he would direct a Western about women taking over a wagon train.
Isn't that a great concept?
It's such a great concept. I can't believe I haven't ever heard of it or seen it.
I've never heard of it or seen it. I can't wait.
And one of the things that's really interesting about it is that apparently Wellman, the director, actually put the actresses through training. Now, nowadays, we would say, well,
like
of course.
Wagon training.
Yeah. I mean, you hear about actors all the time going to
army camp.
Exactly. Or whatever it is, you know, Tom Cruise with Top Gun and going to, right. you know, flight school and all of that. But he put them through pioneer skills to learn, I don't know what those would be, I guess churning butter, or I don't know what it would be, but anyway, chopping wood, yes.
I know, driving horses, I don't know.
Yeah, so it looks like a wonderful film featuring...
I was going to say, who are the women? I'm dying.
Denise Darcel and Hope Emerson, those are the leads.
I love Hope Emerson.
Robert Taylor plays the wagon master.
Love him.
So those are the main folks in it, but I love that the ads for the film called it, because it's this pioneer adventure and they're on a wagon train, an adventure that most men feared to face.
Wow.
So I have a feeling this is going to be a real female empowerment kind of a film, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I think we should talk about films that we've seen before that are playing at the festival, but that we consider films we could watch over and over and over again, no matter how many times.
That's my favorite part.
Me too.
They're showing so many movies that I absolutely am obsessed with, and
yes.
I can't wait to see them on the big screen.
I was going to say, not only on the big screen, but many of them are either remastered or...
Yes, a new nitrate print.
Exactly.
Or,
yeah. So it's going to be some amazing viewing.
Yes.
You go first.
Oh, my gosh. Well, sort of keeping with the theme of the festival about police and justice and crime, my number one has got to be Double Indemnity.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we all know that great Billy Wilder movie with Barbara Stanwyck and Fred McMurray and Edward G. Robinson, my man. You know, and it just tells the classic tale of the insurance man and the unhappy wife who decide to off the husband for the
yes.
insurance money, and how the very intrepid insurance guy, Edward G. Robinson, is on the trail of them. It's just a film noir classic.
Yep.
And I think most people have probably seen it, but I've never seen it on the big screen.
I think that would be pretty thrilling.
I'm very excited about that. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, but the house they use for Barbara Stanwyck's house with Tom Powers is actually around the corner from me.
Oh, wow.
So I always walk Myrna by the old Double Indemnity house.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
All right. On my list is sort of along the same lines, Rear Window.
Ah, yes.
1954, Alfred Hitchcock. I love what TCM says about it. It's a murder mystery. It's a love story. It's a dark comedy, which it really is, all three of those things.
All three of those things.
And I think that's why I love it so much.
Yeah.
The plot is Jimmy Stewart is a photographer. He's broken his leg. He's in a wheelchair. And he ends up, as he's recuperating, spying on his neighbors. I mean, really, that's the only way to say it.
You've got a broken leg. You're in a cast.
Yeah,
you're bored. You've got binoculars.
You're in your wheelchair. And you have a beautiful view out your window of all your neighbors. And your neighbors are an interesting collection of people.
Yes.
And not only is the central neighbor that creates the thrilling murder and...
intrigue.
Yeah, exactly. But all the other neighbors around them, you know,
Miss Lonely Hearts. She's my favorite.
Yes. And the dancer and, you know, all of those. So his fashion model girlfriend, who is played to perfection by Grace Kelly, and not only is she playing it to perfection, but everything she wears, designed by Edith Head. You just want to grab it and put it in your closet. Wendell Corey plays a supporting role.
I love Wendell Corey.
Yes, and of course, the bad guy is Raymond Burr. So it's just one of those stories that when it is on the television, I can't stop. I have to watch it. And as we mentioned her before, we have to mention her again. His visiting nurse is played by Thelma Ritter, who is sarcasm and sardonic wit at its finest.
I think she's that comic relief they're talking about.
Yeah,
it's so great.
It's really, really beautifully done, and one of my favorite Hitchcock films.
Yes, me too. I've never seen on the big screen, so that's exciting.
Yeah. All right. What do you have?
All right. You know, I've got two films, and they're kind of definitely definitely in the theme of the, again, the theme of the show. They're all about cops and robbers and justice and police. And one is The Asphalt Jungle from 1950. Yeah. John Huston with Sterling Hayden and Gene Hagen and Louis Calhern and James Whitmore and Sam Jaffe. Such an incredible movie about a heist that goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a great character study in people, that why they do things and what gets them to a point in life where they have to do things illegal. And it's just this beautiful story of a little redemption, mm-hmm. but it's gritty and it's dark and it's everything I love in a movie. And it's so narratively perfect. I can't wait to see that one on the big screen.
Okay.
Because I've never seen it. And also The Big Heat.
Yes. This we've talked about that before.
Oh, this one has a special place in my heart because it's the first movie I can remember. I think I've mentioned that I used to stay up really late, way past my bedtime, watching old movies with my dad, who let me. And this was one of the first movies we ever saw together. It was The Big Heat. It was 1953 with the great Fritz Lang. Of course, it stars Glenn Ford and Gloria Graham and Alexander Skirby, Jocelyn Brando, the sister of Marlon Brando.
Yes.
And then Lee Marvin and Jeanette Nolan. But it's about this police detective whose wife is, spoiler alert, she's killed in a bombing attack that was meant for him, and it sends him off the deep end. He becomes this unhinged warrior for revenge against the people that killed his wife, which leads to basically the small, quiet town that they live in. It's being controlled by mobsters.
Okay.
And so Glenn Ford has to take down the mobsters. And along the way, he picks up the mobster's gal, Gloria Graham. And she gets...
And we love Gloria Graham.
The bad girl who ends up being a good girl. And it's just one of the most perfect movies I've ever seen. And I cannot wait to see that one.
On the big screen.
Yeah.
All right, let me throw two at you really quick.
Good.
One, which you are going to be surprised, I think.
Oh.
In Cold Blood.
You've never seen In Cold
Blood.
Oh, this is the one.
Oh,
this is the one. Okay, I was going to say, I thought we're in the wrong category. Okay, all right. Oh, no, it was on my list, but I
oh, okay,
it.
You yeah. knocked it off.
I wouldn't
okay.
call that.
I mean, I remember watching it as a kid.
And chilling.
It was so chilling.
Ugh.
I think I also wasn't used to seeing black and white films, especially it's a later film to be in black and white, but it was done that way on purpose.
And the way they shot it makes you think it's a documentary. That's what's so chilling
yes.
to me.
Yes, and they cast at the time two actors who were not well known.
Yeah.
So there's so much about it that is just a gritty realism. Of course, those two actors are Robert Blake and Scott Wilson.
Yeah.
And of course, it's the story of the Clutter family who were randomly murdered by two young men. It's directed by Richard Brooks. It's, as I said, 1967. Richard Brooks directed Elmer Gantry and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And he was also a producer as well. And he directs looking at this real life murder taking place in Kansas City. Truman Capote, obviously,
yes.
based on his book, wrote the screenplay. It is, you cannot take your eyes off it. The cinematography is by Conrad Hall, who is
The great Conrad Hall.
The great. And Quincy Jones does the score. In complete contrast to that, to just wrap this up, The Little Foxes.
Oh,
because we've talked about...
I love that movie.
Yeah, we've talked about Lillian Hellman. Who doesn't love Bette Davis?
I know.
In one of her most sinister and dark roles. And not to give anything away, but that final scene is pretty chilling.
And Teresa Wright.
Oh, and Teresa Wright.
Who holds her own admirably
She's
against
fantastic.
Bette Davis.
Fantastic, yes.
And actually, I think The Little Foxes was Teresa Wright started her career and she got Oscar nominated for her first three films out the bat.
Yeah.
And I think Little Foxes was the third of three.
She did get nominated as well as Bette Davis. Actually, it's a very highly nominated film. Multiple Academy Award nominations, including Best Picture, Best Score by Meredith Wilson, who wrote The Music Man.
A little different for him.
Screenplay by Lillian Hellman. She also was nominated. And as we said, Bette Davis and Teresa Wright. But it has all the elements of a wonderful Southern dark family embezzlement and
betrayal.
Blackmail and ultimately murder.
Have you, and I just watched this recently, have you seen the prequel, Another Part of the Forest?
I have it on the DVR.
Okay.
After
you watch Little Foxes, I think you should definitely go watch, because you really get to see these characters when they were younger.
Yes.
And you see how everything was set in place from an early age, why they ended up the way they did in The Little Foxes.
I wish we could do a theater production with both shows.
That'd be really clever.
It would be really cool. Just to give them their due, William Wyler directed it, and Greg Toland, another iconic cinematographer. And I just really kind of can't take my eyes off of it. It's Bette Davis's third film with William Wyler.
Yeah, That's right.
Apparently they fought a lot, but maybe that's why it was so good. I don't know.
Wyler fought with a lot of people. Then he married them. So
yeah.
Did he marry Betty?
Well, this is going to be the most exciting 4 days.
Yes.
I can't wait. I think it's time for the answer to our Hollywood pop quiz.
Yes. And the question today was, at the very first Turner Classic Film Festival, who was a star who got their handprints in cement at Grauman's Chinese Theater?
Now, it was 15 years ago?
It was 2010.
Okay.
And it's, I don't know, it might stump you.
I'm going to just let you give me the answer then.
The answer is Mel Brooks.
Wow, I never would have guessed that.
That's when Mel Brooks finally got his handprints in
cement. Oh, good.
So good old TCM for making that happen.
Well, if you want more information about the festival, check out TCM's website, tcm.com. And more than that, we would appreciate it if you would follow us on social media. Our handle is @FromBeneathTheHollywoodSign. We're on YouTube. You can watch the show as well as on Instagram and Facebook.
And we'd love to hear from you. You can always email us at info@FromBeneathTheHollywoodSign.com.
That's this week's View.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign.
You've been listening to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign with Steve Kubine and Nan McNamara, the podcast that celebrates amazing stories of Tinseltown from its golden era. Join us next week for another episode and learn something else about Hollywood you probably never knew. Take a moment and give us a 5-star rating and a positive review. And tell your friends about us too. It'll help grow the podcast. Visit Steve's website at FromBeneathTheHollywoodSign.com. The executive producers are Steve Kubine and Ann McNamara, executive producer and post-production supervisor Lindsay Schnebley. This podcast is part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to their other fine shows like The Box of Oddities and The Shallow End with Schnebley and Toth. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved. That's a wrap.